Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins. Flickery. Flickery. Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund. Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Excuse.
Esquivel excused. Filer. Filer. Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Excuse.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparic.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden. Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne. Walters.
Here.
Watt. Watt excused. Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Burkhart.
Excuse.
Burkhart excused. Filer.
Here.
Throne.
Excuse.
Throne excused. 51 present, 9 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered today by Reverend Bob Girard, representing the First Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne.
Mr. Speaker, after walking through the halls and what I heard and seeing all the pink papers, I decided to amend my prayer this morning. Let us pray. Wonderful God, the wonder of your love, mercy, and strength surrounds us today. Lead these fellow citizens to tap into it all so that they may function well, think creatively, and listen attentively. Where there is disagreement, may your power of collaboration overcome the differences. Where dead ends block the way, may new pathways be found. Help each member to speak their thoughts clearly and feel your presence guiding them as they vote. Remind the people who elected these our leaders to pray for them and give them encouragement as they serve us in your name. Amen.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wake up!
Good to see you again.
See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Amen.
House will come to order. Next order of business is the Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 18, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
With that order of business, messages from the Senate.
Message number 145, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 104, Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Protection, Ayes 3, Noes 27. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Doctor of the day today is Dr. Eric Weddle, MD, from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Welcome, Doctor. This morning, it's with great honor that I welcome United States Representative Cynthia Lummis back to the Wyoming Legislature. Prior to being elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, she served 14 years in the Wyoming House and Senate and 8 years as the Wyoming State Treasurer. She is currently serving on the Committees on Oversight and Government Reform, the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, the Committee on Natural Resources. Congressman Lummis continues to be involved in the operations of the Lummis Family Ranch, located in Laramie County, while proudly serving the residents of Wyoming. Please help me in welcoming home United States Representative Cynthia Lummis.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
I want to thank you for your service to our state. And as I was debating about what to say this morning, I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I think I woke up because something was wrong. And then I realized it was that the wind had quit blowing. Everything was really quiet. And I was thinking about what to say to you today. And I just came off the most frustrating year in my service in the U.S. Congress. And I have been in my own head trying to figure out how to ask the people of this state to reelect me if I don't have the confidence myself that I can make a difference. And so I dug inside myself and took myself back to my legislative days. The Wyoming legislative days, the real legislative days. And I recalled the decade of the 1980s and some work that we did here that was very instructive. We had, during the 1980s here, a real battle going between the House and the Senate over property taxes. The House wanted a flat property tax system. The Senate wanted a tier tax system. We couldn't resolve it. The House would send a flat tax to the Senate. The Senate would send the tier tax to the House. Each House would kill the other bill. We'd wait till the next year and repeat. Finally, the industrial taxpayers became impatient, took their case to the Wyoming Supreme Court. The Wyoming Supreme Court ruled our system of taxation, property taxation, unconstitutional. And they did it right before a legislative session. So we had a very tough encounter. The Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate put 6 people in the room, 3 House, 3 Senate, to resolve this issue. And I was blessed to be one of those 6. And it was people of goodwill putting Wyoming first, and we resolved it. And we took a constitutional amendment to the voters the next fall, and we created a hybrid system where there are 3 tiers of classes of property, but not unlimited tiers. And those classes are embedded in the Constitution, so the legislature could never add more. And, you know, that has served us pretty well since the 1980s. I know there continue to be issues with regard to property taxation, but the important thing was we resolved it. Now, you may think that I give you this example because of what you're dealing with education. And that is not the case. I tell you this because of what I'm encountering in Congress, where we can't solve anything. Last year, we went from hearings on Benghazi, and I went to Libya, to having Lois Lerner come in front of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, take the fifth after she had lied to the U.S. House of Representatives. We shut down the government for 2 weeks because we couldn't agree. We've had Obamacare implemented in a way that doesn't serve the American people well. Honestly, if he just would have acceded to what was our request, which is a one-year delay in Obamacare, he would have had another year to fix the website, and it really probably would have rolled out better for him. But that stubbornness, that I will not let the other side win, prevented a good result for the American people. That's what's wrong with Congress, and that's what's right with the Wyoming legislature. I take my lessons from you. I learn my lessons from you. I learn my lessons from this institution. I learned how to solve problems. During the government shutdown, a bunch of us were in a back room, Republicans and Democrats, trying to find a way out of our mess. And this year, I'm going to push like I never have before for tax reform, because there's only three ways to solve this growing debt that we have in this country. And the Republicans have taken one off the table, and that's tax increases. And the Democrats have taken another off the table, and that is entitlement reform, which is the real driver of our debt. That only leaves us one choice, and that's to grow our way out of debt. And we can't grow this economy unless we reform our tax code and make it flatter, fairer, easier to understand, and friendly to entrepreneurs, the people who will grow our economy. Those are the lessons that I learned here. You are doing great work. I admire what you do. I learned what I learned here. And I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your service to our state. I want to thank the people in this room for their service, because you put Wyoming first. And God bless you for it. God bless your work today and the rest of the session. Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Cynthia, on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, thank you for taking the time to visit us today, and we wish you continued success serving Wyoming in the United States House of Representatives. It's also with great honor and privilege to welcome somebody who used to sell me my shoes. Senator Mike Enzi, welcome back to the Wyoming Legislature. Senator Enzi served in the Wyoming House from 1987 until 1996, and also served in the Wyoming Senate from 1992 to 1996. He was sworn into the United States Senate in 1997 and has been serving the people of Wyoming ever since. He currently serves on the U.S. Senate's Committee on Budget, Committee on Finance, Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, and Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs. Please help me in welcoming home United States Senator Mike Enzi.
Mr. Speaker, members of the Wyoming House of Representatives, thank you for letting me be here. This is part of old home week for me. I can remember sitting in the desk back there for 5 years and using the microphone back there for 5 years and learning a lot here. In fact, our whole delegation, of course, served in the Wyoming legislature, and so we have that similar background to work from. It made it easy for us to transition to the U.S., although very frustrating to transition to the U.S. because they don't do it right there. They don't do it the way you do it. And John and I just filed a bill that would require them to have one topic on a bill. I put that on my Facebook. I got 20,000 hits on it from all over the United States. Obviously a very popular idea that I'll continue to try to sell. Our delegation works together well because we have that common background, and I think we get more done than the other delegations, but we're one of the few delegations that actually like each other. And it comes from having been here. And, of course, when I come here, it brings back a lot of memories. I remember the first bill that I did when I was in the House, simple little three-line bill. I learned you never say it's a simple bill. And it went to committee, and I got three amendments, and it came to the floor, and I got two more amendments, and then it made it over to the Senate. And in committee, they put two more amendments on it, and it went to the floor, and it didn't get amended again. And I had to admit that every one of those amendments made an important improvement in the bill. And that's why we have 90 people here and 535 in Washington, to have a whole bunch of backgrounds that can look at something and see what the unintended consequences are and fix them. Now, they don't all get fixed. There's no such thing as a perfect bill. But the more concise that you make the bill, the more likely you are to wind up with something as near perfect as possible. And you do a great job with that. This is where I developed my 80% rule. I found that you could talk civilly to other people about 80% of the issues. And if you stuck to those 80%, you had some chance of being productive, because you could probably find one of those issues that you could find 80% common ground on. What always fouls things up, particularly in Washington, is that 10% that each of the parties disagree on. And they've been disagreeing so long that they just jump right into the weeds on it and start arguing with old arguments without listening to the other side, because a word or two lets them know they're on track. And so if you can back them off and get them to concentrate on the 80% that's common ground, you can get it done. And our delegation's been having some success at that in Washington, even during the last 2 years when you'd think that there was total obstruction back there. Not quite so. Of course, I also remember when I was here and we had the only special session that I ever participated in my 10 years here, and I've noticed there haven't been many since that time. The federal government, of course, had reduced speed limits. They made it 55 miles on all of the highways, including the interstate. And then they decided that maybe it would be okay if on interstate you got to go 65 miles an hour, and they passed that bill in Washington. And so we held a special session to get up to 65 on the interstate. One of our problems out here was that people were being distracted while they were driving because of the great distances without much to do or see. My dad started reading while that 55-mile-an-hour. He'd traveled on the road his whole life, and he said, you can watch a flower germinate and bloom and wilt before you get past it. So we got to move it to 65 miles an hour, and because of the rules we had, I don't know if they're the same now, but As a new person in the House, I got to be the chair of the conference committee for the House. And Deemer True was the chair of the conference committee in the Senate. And we had to work that out. And he was in trucking, and so he kind of liked that lower speed limit. But we did get it raised, and we put another little provision in there where we said that if the speed limit ever went up again, it was automatic in Wyoming. And so when it went to 75 miles an hour, the people were out putting up the signs at midnight. We were the first state to change over to that. So, I remember being part of the Energy Council, and I'm pleased that you're a part of the Energy Council. There is a war on coal in the United States. I've been trying to form a coalition across the United States to counter that. It's a great source of revenue for the state of Wyoming, and the Energy Council is a tremendous help on that. All the issues aren't red states versus blue states. They're sometimes one occupation against another, one region against another. And that Energy Council, we get them jazzed up every time that we have something that comes up that we need a little help on. And sometimes they're able to get their people loosened up for us. I used to be part of ALEC as well. I always liked the idea of being able to take bills that other people had developed and already had tested in the courts and could check and see if that had some applicability to Wyoming. So we also got to talk to a lot of other people, and I want to congratulate the legislature on continuing to do the special funds. I noticed that we now have $17 billion that the state treasurer's office in constitutionally protected funds. I'm very proud of you for that. $6.5 billion in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. Of course, that's we recognized many before I was even in the legislature that as we mine the minerals, the future generations won't have the benefit from that. So the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund was formed so that they, too, would have some benefit. And there's $3 billion in the Permanent Land Fund and $1.6 billion in the Workers' Compensation Fund. That was a negative fund when I was in the legislature. We made a bunch of reforms at that time. $557 million in the Hathaway Scholarship Fund. That's one of the funds that Senator Barrasso got to help with. And $119 million in the Excellence in Higher Education Fund. Now, the difficulty is that the federal government's heard that you have extra money. And we had that abandoned mine land money when I went to Washington, and it had $550 million in it, but we couldn't get it. It was a trust fund. I said, how'd I get the money out? They said, well, you have to put a little money in. So I never heard of a trust fund like that. And I eventually got the opportunity to put an amendment on a bill. I had to pass it with a supermajority that got that loosened up over a seven-year period. We were supposed to get our original $550 million back. And we had to fight that every single year, even once it went into effect. They just don't like giving out money. They like keeping the money and using it for federal projects. But once again, they've taken that money away. And once again, we've got some of that back. John's on the right committee that there was a helium shortage. Some of you might have noticed that it was a little tough to get party balloons. Well, there's a bigger problem with X-rays because they need helium for X-rays. The military needs helium. And so we did a bill that freed up helium again and probably saved the Macy's Day Parade. But we had a little provision in there that got $60 million of the abandoned mine land money back again. And we also had a little secure rural schools thing. That's how we got a national coalition on the thing. And that brings some money back to Wyoming as well. Of course, they've tried to take our federal mineral royalties with the sequester, and I did circulate a bill back there and was having great success at getting people to sign on to that because there are a number of states that were going to be affected by it. And as it gained momentum, the White House said, you don't have to do that. We're going to make sure that we don't sequester your federal mineral royalties. So that's been protected. Then in the budget bill, they eliminated payment in lieu of taxes. So again, we started circulating a bill that said that's taxes that the federal government owes. And here's how we take care of taxes in Wyoming when people don't pay. We put a lien on the property and then we sell it. And we'd be happy to do that for the federal government too. At which point in the farm bill they put PILT back in. So it's a one-year fight every time for doing it, but it's worth the fight, and keep putting that money away and we'll keep defending that money. Wyoming's a conservative state. The federal government is not conservative. $17 trillion in debt is not conservative. Trust funds that don't have any money in them are not conservative. There isn't anybody that can invest the money that's in the trust funds of the federal government. That's wrong. So we're trying to change all of those things. And again, I want to thank you for all that you do. And I appreciate that you start off with a prayer and a pledge. In Washington, I was introduced to the Prayer of Jabez. It's a very short one. It's located in a little paragraph in Chronicles, and I was given that in August of 2001. And the first line of it asks God to bless us, and the second line asks Him to enlarge our territory, what we're doing, and the third one asks for Him to keep His hand on our shoulder, and the fourth one asks Him to keep us from causing pain, from doing the wrong thing and causing pain. Well, you remember 2001, 9/11? My territory got expanded dramatically. with that one, and I even got involved in a lot of the anti-terrorism stuff. But I've been using that prayer every day since then, and my territory keeps getting larger, and I suggest that you do that too, because it's difficult, but it's gratifying. And what you're doing is the toughest work that I know of. You cram into a shorter period of time more work than anybody else in the United States. And I know that it affects your health and your well-being, but you get it done, and you do it right. Keep doing that. Thanks for letting me be here.
Senator Enzi, on behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, we thank you for your service to Wyoming in the United States Senate and appreciate the update on your work in Washington. In the back gallery, if you'd all say hi to Diana Enzi as well, she's here with us too. Diana, welcome to the House and thank you for your visit. With that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File Number 26 is introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the University of Wyoming Endowment Challenge Program.
Senate File 26 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27 is introduced by the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the University of Wyoming Endowment Challenge Program.
Senate File 27 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54 from the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to reports to the legislature.
Senate File 54 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Senate File 15 from the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to community colleges.
Senate File 15 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103 from the Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 103 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70 from the Management Audit Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 70 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50 from the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the State Minors Hospital Board and Account.
Senate File 50 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33 from the Revenue Department.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to ad valorem taxation.
Senate File 33 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 79.
Senate File 79 from the Education Accountability.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
Senate File 79 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12 from the Education Accountability.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the required state education program.
Senate File 12 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File 78 from the Education Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school districts.
Senate File 78 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6 from the Agriculture Department.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water.
Senate File 6 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7 from the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to livestock.
Senate File 7 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46 from the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state parks.
Senate File 46 is referred to Committee Number 6, TRW. The next bill for our consideration, Senate File 38.
Senate File 38 from Senator Christensen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to hunting.
Senate File number 38 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20 from the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to local government notice publications.
Senate File 20 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19 from the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cities and towns.
Senate File 19 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57 from the Management Audit Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to boards and commissions.
Senate File 57 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18 from Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county notice publications.
Senate File 18 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 60.
Senate File 60 from the Transportation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the titling of vehicles.
Senate File 60 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41 from the Minerals Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee.
Senate File 41 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43.
Senate File 43 from the Minerals Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer projects.
Senate File 43 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration, Senate File 51.
Senate File 51 from Senator Boobout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to workers' compensation.
Senate File 51 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Are there any re-referrals of bills? We're not that order of business of re-referral of bills. Oh, I'm taking it back. Before that, I need to read in standing committee reports. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 145, Streamline Sales Tax Amendments, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Mader, Northrop, Petroff, and Simlick, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 12, 80 miles per hour speed limit, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanitzer, two no votes, Representative Blevins and Hutchings, signed by Representatives Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 165, Game Roadkill, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder, Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Joint Bill Number 5, Moose, Wilson, Roadway, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yagi, Laux, McKim, Reeder, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 120, Employee Drug Testing, Vulnerable Adults, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Filer, Green, Harvey, Larson, Throne, Wilson, two no votes, Representative Coleman and Kasperic, signed by Representative Green, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred House Bill 36, Constituent Service Allowance, respectfully reports saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Lubnow, Madden, Moniz, Patton, Stubson, Throne, and Dan's one answer, one excuse, Representative Petroff, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred House Bill 62, General Procedures for Licensure Boards, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Berger, Blickery, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Lubnow, Madden, Moniz, Patton, Petroff, Stubson, Throne, and Dan's Wenitzer, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
With that order of business of re-referral of bills, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer House Bill 120 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Chairman's Wenitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to re-refer House Bill 12 from Transportation to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to re-refer House Bill 177 to Appropriations, Federal Land Tax Lien, House Bill 179, Privacy and Education, House Joint Resolution 3, Pledge of Allegiance Commemoration.
To which, the last two, to what committee, Chairman Lockhart?
I inferred, but I didn't do it. All of them to...
Committee 1, Judiciary?
Number 1, Judiciary. I was trying to think of the number.
Without objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 33.
House Bill Number 33 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to juries.
House Bill 33 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill Number 35 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 35 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 43.
House Bill 43 from Representative Gingery, an act relating to children in need of supervision.
House Bill 43 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47.
House Bill 47 is introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to government royalty revenues.
House Bill 47 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 53.
House Bill 53 is introduced by Representative Dave Wenitzer, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery Corporation.
House Bill 53 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 54.
House Bill Number 54 is introduced by Representative Dave Wenitzer, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery Corporation.
House Bill 54 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69.
House Bill 69 from Representative Larson, an act relating to fuel tax.
House Bill 69 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71.
House Bill 71 from Representative Stubson, an act relating to capital leasing by school districts.
House Bill 71 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 91.
House Bill Number 91, as introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to banks and restricted transactions.
House Bill 91 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill Number 96, as introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to professional assistance programs.
House Bill 96 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 147.
House Bill Number 147 is introduced by Representative Miller, an act relating to the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority.
House Bill 147 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 173.
House Bill 173 is introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to schools.
House Bill 173, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175.
House Bill 175 is introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to non-testamentary transfer on death of real property.
House Bill 175, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no, or House Bill 173, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. House Bill 175, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 1.
House Joint Resolution 1 is introduced by Representative Byrd, a joint resolution requesting Congress to support Taiwan's participation in appropriate international organizations and to resume free trade talks with Taiwan.
House Joint Resolution 1 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 1.
House Bill number 1 from the Appropriations Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2016.
There are 83 amendments. Brothers and sisters, your amendments are in the order on your purple sheets. Just as a refresher, House Rule 11.3 says, except as provided by House Rule 6.6b, only after a voice vote in which the ayes have prevailed, the ayes and noes shall be taken on the motion to adopt any amendment to a mirror budget bill which directly increases or decreases an appropriation by a specific dollar amount. So anytime we're increasing or decreasing appropriations by these budget amendments, there will be a roll call vote. The House will stand in recess until the sound of the gavel. Or do you have a privilege of the floor, Representative Green?
I do, Mr. Speaker.
Well, you have that privilege.
I appreciate it, Mr. Speaker. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, stay in the gallery, and I'm not sure which side of the gallery they're in, so I apologize. Visiting us from Laramie are some of the best and brightest students from the University of Wyoming in the ASUW, the Associated Students of the University of Wyoming. There they are, there. So let me just tell them, let's see, the president is Brent Collar. Brett, you have big shoes to fill, because 1995's ASUW president was none other than Sam Crone. Right here, our colleague. So hopefully you all have an opportunity. And brothers and sisters, 60 seconds, could you give a warm welcome to the ASUW students?
Representative, or Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great honor to introduce a couple of friends from Sheridan that work very hard. Our Sheridan School District Number 2 Business Manager, Roxy Taff. And we also have from Sheridan College, Mark Englert and Sue Bellish. So welcome them to the House. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the 62nd in the north balcony, I think if she's still there, maybe she stepped out, is my wife. She's now in the west balcony, is the smartest and the most talented individual in Sublette County, my wife, Sue.
Welcome to the House. Any other further privileges of the floor? Chairman's Juan Sardan.
Thank you.
Representatives.
I'm going to have Mr. Kaler stand up one more time, first because his name's Brent Kaler, the ASUW president. He is also going to be this summer's director of Boys State and will be the youngest Boys State director in the history of the program. He's been working there for 5 years.
Welcome to the House. Is there any more levity before we jump into this second reading amendments? All right. The first amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1. Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 14 to ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker and members of the body, this is the Office of the Governor, Tribal Liaison, on your cheat sheet, under number 10, footnote number 10. The JAC deleted $200,000 for the second year. The amendment I propose is to bring back that $200,000 back within the standard budget. The discussion with JAC was that they would take out $200,000 for the second year, bring it back as a supplemental, providing that the governor's office and the tribal liaisons were able to work out their difference or work out a plan in terms of deliverables, goals and objectives, the definition of the liaison, and work that out. Mr. Chairman, I have been working with the governor's office, his chief of staff. I've spoken with the co-chair on the other side of the Senate, and worked with the chief of staff to develop those deliverables, those objectives, and the definition of a liaison. And the budget amendment itself explains it. We would insert $200,000 back into the second year, delete on line 8, line 22, 2015. We would add, insert after line 9, line 2, the deliverables, the mutual respect, the protocols, a working document, a systematic review. Mr. Chairman, I do stand for questions, and I ask for your favorable support of Second Amendment Reading 14.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to start off House Bill 1, but I think there's really no harm in this amendment. I think we're going to come back and fund this in the second year, and I think appreciate the good representative's work on this issue and really has probably made it better. So I'm going to vote aye on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. That's the nicest. I'll see you all day, Chairman Harshman. We're voting on second reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Second reading amendment number 14 is passed. A voice vote. The chief clerk will call the roll. In a minute. House will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Feiler.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Freeman, are you changing your... Blickery, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 13 no.
Second reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We're now on second reading amendment number 69 to House Bill 1. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I bring you second amendment number 69. The governor's office did an evaluation for international travel and international travel relations. In that, based upon the governor's recommendations, that basically they wanted $500,000 in order to send not just the governor and the governor's staff, but also to send state legislators, because in the protocol of what you do in creating the bonding with Taiwan, with Canada, and with the other countries, it's strongly recommended by the governor and by those countries that we send legislators to go in addition to the governor and the first troop. So during appropriations, they brought an amendment to only limit, that we added $350,000 but limited it to not have legislators travel. And that's directly inconsistent with the governor's recommendation is and what his plan is. So I brought this amendment to delete, beginning at line 16 through 18, that says no funds associated with this footnote shall be used to foreign travel for legislatures. Because that's not the intent of part of the budget recommendations from the governor. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to reject this amendment. I think if we as a body, a majority, decide that we want to set money aside for us to participate in these foreign trade efforts, which I think are worthy, I'm not against any of that, and that should come in the feed bill. I don't think we should put it in the governor's budget and then have the chief executive kind of decide who and where and when out of a co-equal branch of government. If we want to do this, we put it in the feed bill. We let management council, our leadership arm, be in on that and decide that. And so I'm not opposed to the concept so much, but I'm opposed to the idea of the governor being the decider for the legislative branch. So I'd urge your rejection and bring this up as an amendment in the feed bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time, Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. You know, this is how we've done it in the past, and we don't know if it's going to come up and pass in the feed bill. And the funds, the amount of the funds was created in order to send legislators to do this. So it doesn't make sense to have the funds in there but not have some of us from both of our houses go. So I would just ask for your approval.
Voting on second reading amendment number 69 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading number 1 to House Bill 69 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. Representative Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Amendment number 5 is brought to you by your Legislative Facilities and Capital Renovation Task Force. It's $5,000 to keep the state capitol open both Saturdays of Cheyenne Frontier Days. As many of you know, we will see the capitol renovation bill this week in the House, and this building will be closed for remodeling for 2 years. During Frontier Days, one of the biggest tourist events in Cheyenne, the capitol's not open. The bill allows for $3,000 for general services for janitorial staff and $2,000 for the highway patrol for security services to be open on the two Saturdays of Frontier Days. I would be happy to stand for questions.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I think the concept is a good one. We certainly want this building to be available. It's sort of a crown jewel of the state, but given the amount of funds that we pour into A&I and DOT, it seems like we could probably do this without dumping more money into it. So I would suggest a no on this, and maybe we can look at third reading it, amendment that just allows for the building to be open during these times.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman or Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did have LSO research prepare a draft. They talked with everyone involved on these amounts. This is what was requested for overtime pay. because they are on a salary schedule for both the maintenance, janitorial, and the security staff that would be needed for the building. I'd be happy to show anyone the study. If you're not sure about the funding amount, I would encourage you to vote yes, and then on third reading we can take the money out. But I think it's important to leave this building open on a Saturday. It's our biggest tourist day of the year. A lot of people actually are in this building. There are several legislators and other family members who are in the building without security right now, and so it's not a lot of money. I think it's the smallest budget increase today, and would ask for your favorable support.
Put in on second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 fails. The next budget amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 1. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is rangeland maintenance up there at Camp Guernsey. The exact amount that you see deposited in the general fund is that $409,991. The military department works with about 7 ranchers up there on grazing leases, and the money they collect from those grazing leases is deposited back into the general fund. The pass-through back to the military of this money they use for rangeland maintenance, and it wasn't in the budget. It wasn't approved in the budget, but it should have, because of the number of things that we have to maintain on that great rangeland. Number one, the fences, the wells, the culverts, the roads. These aren't the soldiers that are working on these maintenance projects. These are actually contracted out by the military department to make sure that everything on this rangeland is in working order. I mentioned that before. They work with 7 different ranchers up there. So it's pass-through money, basically revenue neutral. Like I said, they deposit it in the general fund, and we pass it through back for them to do this maintenance. And I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I didn't hear about this in our travel meeting, so I'm just a little skeptical of this, I guess. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is written in such a way that it it tries to be a true offset. This is the amount, I'm told, of those grazing leases. And as you think about the goldenrod at the very top, we talked about in the first day, which will change the bottom line on the goldenrod, is not only our spending, but also decreases to revenue. And this is just flat, takes it right out of revenue of the general fund. And this issue came before us. We rejected it in JAC. And we think we're in a pretty good shape with this budget, and I just really don't see the need for this. And so against these kind of I won't say the word earmark, but these kind of revenue offsets, I'd urge your no vote. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this amount that is on this amendment is the amount that the military department receives off of the approximately 60,000 acres that they lease up there. They are required to put that money back to the general fund, not in a special fund, but back into the general fund, and then every year they have to come and ask for that money back. So basically, if my understanding is correct, they spent about $200,000 last year in repair of wells and fences, and this is just going to shortchange them with absolutely no money to maintain the rangeland up there. So basically what they're asking is just to get the money back they receive in those grazing leases. It's a break-even proposition, and we would ask for an aye vote.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question has to do with the way the leases are currently constructed, and if there was discussion with the camp about whether or not it was the obligation of the person leasing the property to take care of this. If it's not in that lease, then it's obviously the responsibility of the state.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you had a contract with someone to take care of something, and you deposited money in your bank account with a wasn't really a promise, but an understanding that you were going to get the money back for taking care of that project, I think you'd be disappointed if it didn't come back to you. So, like a previous speaker spoke, it really is revenue neutral. Yes, it comes off the goldenrod, but where the money came from is actually from those leases. I urge your strong support here.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 1 fails. Division having been called, all in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 1, please rise. All opposed, please rise. Like I said, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 1 fails. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 70 to House Bill number 1. Representatives Juanitz or Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. This one, members, is a little more confusing. It is revenue neutral. What I'm attempting to do is move money from the Business Council back to the Department of Ag. Most of you in this body will remember last year in 2013, we passed House Bill 109. State-inspected meat plant, where we tasked the Department of Agriculture to conduct a study over the interim to ascertain the feasibility of doing an equal-to status with the USDA for interstate meat shipments. They did contact the 15 plants in Wyoming, those 16 plants. 13 said they weren't interested, 2 said yes, 1 said maybe. One of the yeses is no longer with us. So as of now, there's one meat plant that is strong support of this. The estimate that we went through in the interim was $815,000 in personnel costs to run one of these, plus about $3 million in construction costs. Certainly the one facility is excited about this, the UW is excited about this, and so I'm not here to kill the idea because I do think it has merit for further study. I really just want to make it work. So we're back here a year later after we had one state agency study this in depth, and I have the 8-page report and can tell you what every item they think they need in this plant can cost, right down to the meat slicers. And for some reason now we have the $100,000 to the Business Council to hire a consultant to redo a study we've already done. I think I'm safe in saying that the bringer of the amendment in the bill last year may not have been satisfied with the work of the department, and so to that effect, I think we can encourage them to do better. We do know we need some things. We don't need a consultant to tell us again. We need lab accreditation. We need to work on an MOU with the USDA, and we can work towards these things without studying, and so this $100,000 goes back to ag. You'll look on page 18 of your budget bill. They're already doing the study, the Department of Agriculture. If you look at page 65, that's the Business Council where this $100,000. So the wording in the amendment is pretty similar to what you find in page 65, but it still requires a collaboration of all three entities. It goes to the agency that's been doing the work for the last year, and it helps to, we know we need certification of our lab to even do these shipments. And so, again, revenue neutral, it just moves it in the budget and tasks the agency, which I think is the appropriate agency, which has been doing the work, to continue doing the work. And I think there's a budget amendment right after this one that changes the date that I'm also in support of, but would ask for any questions on this.
Representative Groove, for your first time.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to rise in support of this budget amendment. The good representative from the Capital City is right. There's been a lot of work that's gone on with this. It's been done by the right agency. He's keeping the same directive to keep that focus and move it forward. This is better done by the Department of Agriculture rather than the Wyoming Business Council. Again, they've got quite a bit of time put into this. The knowledge and the expertise, I'd encourage your aye vote on this amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now I'm confused. I heard the bringer of the amendment say that the work has already been done, but yet you want to, instead of just reverting the money of the $100,000 back to the general fund and leaving it there, the way I understand it, you want to increase an appropriation to the Ag Department for work that's already been done. And I just needed to be cleared up on that. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd note to the body that really from the Business Council, we didn't increase the Business Council's budget to do this. We said of these funds, and this amendment takes the $100,000 of their funds and moves it to another agency. So it's a cut to the Business Council, an increase to the Ag Department. But I think the spirit of this amendment, and it was a former representative from Recluse's idea, was to take the work that's been done the previous year and now to take it to a marketing level and to really get our exports going and see what we can do as far as taking it to the next level. And so that's why we endorsed it in the Appropriations Committee. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Representative Pat.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. In looking at this, it seems to me that we've got two separate subjects, and I'll waste my first time by asking for an explanation of why we should have one singular vote in two different divisions doing two different things. And if, on second call of the chair, if it's not satisfactory, I'll call for a division of the question. I do not know.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Representative Patton, Representative Zwanitzer is going to speak last on this. If you want to call for the division, speak now or forever hold your peace. Representative Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thanks. Answer the last question first. It makes it revenue neutral by touching both agency budgets at the same time. I do understand that the $100,000 does come out of the Business Council to the department. If you read the language currently, they were supposed to form this task force together jointly with the UW Meat lab and the university. And so the money, I don't think it really matters which agency it's coming from, but I do understand. In response to why don't I just take it out altogether, I personally voted no on the bill last year, and I don't know if this is where we want to go and work towards what will be a $4 or $5 million, but I know the good former appropriations member felt very strongly about this, and I do want to try to make it work. I just want to make it work in the right way, and I don't think if you read the language currently on page 68, having another consultant and having a statewide conference is really going to move the ball down the field. There are things pointed out in the last year in the study that things we can work on now, and I'd rather work on those things that we can do now to achieve accreditation and an MOU with the USDA that are achievable instead of continuing to study the project. And so that's why I didn't ask for it to be taken out, because I do think it has merit. I just want to move the ball down the field, but if it doesn't, at least we've accredited our lab and done some other stuff that we know we need to do eventually.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 70 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 70, having passed a voice vote, since it's an increase or decrease in funds, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Chair, can I just have a point of order that this isn't, I tried to make it so it was revenue neutral, just moving the same cost to the budget. Does that still quantify?
Chairman Zwanitzer, you could call a rules committee, or Representative Zwanitzer, you could call a rules committee if you want, but the way that the rule reads is if there is an increase or a decrease in funds. And so you're increasing and decreasing funds in two different agencies, so even though revenue neutral, it's an increase or decrease in funds, and so that's why I ruled the way I did. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. No. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown. Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Coleman, Connolly, Davison, Eklund, Esquivel, Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kirkbright.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Mater.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Yes.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Winters, no to aye. Brown, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 16 no.
Second Amendment number 70, having received more than a majority of the votes, has passed the House. We're now on that highly controversial second reading amendment number 23 to House Bill number 1. Chairman Semlock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1, ask for your favorable consideration. This has to do with the discussion that we had on the last proposed and adopted budget amendment with respect to the reporting requirement. There's a requirement in there that the report be given to the Appropriations Committee and to the Joint Ag Committee, and my request is in this budget amendment is to change that date from November to September. It better fits at least with the Joint Ag Committee's summer interim schedule. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Seeing question having been called, all in favor of second reading amendment number 23 to House Bill 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 23 has passed the House. We are now on second reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 10. So, this was one of our most successful programs in the state for crime in particularly. These are called TFOs. They're tactical field officers. And actually one of these is an ICAC. An ICAC is an internet crime officer. So those of you who have ever been over to tour the crime lab or to see DCI in action, you have to remember your local sheriff, your police department, they have good people on staff. But for major crimes, when you're talking very complicated crimes, white-collar crimes, major drug-dealing type crimes, especially child abuse, especially with the internet, the sexual abuse of children, those take very skilled officers that are highly trained. Instead of DCI going out and hiring a lot of officers, what we started doing a few years ago, and actually it's been in place now quite a long time, is they borrow officers from your local jurisdictions. So your local PD or your sheriff's department would have someone who's a real stellar officer, and they would be on loan to DCI for up to 1 year or 2 years, and then you get your officer back. The great advantage is DCI doesn't have to go hire people. That saves the state of Wyoming money. The other thing it does is they get so highly trained through all these major crimes, when they come back to your community, they're highly skilled officers. TFOs, your tactical field officers, there's six of them that would be affected here. That's not very many. There's not many of them already to start with. You got to remember, DCI, you know, they operate on a shoestring. So these six TFOs, they're doing your major homicides. When you find a body with a head missing because of some drug deal gone bad up in the northern part, these are the guys that show up. These are the guys that know what they're doing. When you're dealing with the major drug crimes, where it takes months upon months to actually put your case together,
when you're dealing with officer-involved shootings, a lot of times you'll have an officer-involved shooting in a local jurisdiction. What you want is DCI to be there to do the investigation rather than the same agency. And also misconduct of officers. They do the investigations. These are highly skilled TFOs. And I just have to mention for the minute the ICAC. For those of you, I know some of you have been there. There's a secret location here in Cheyenne where this actually operates out of. And they sit there all day posing as individuals. And they have caught many people from out of state trying to come into our state and sexually abuse children. And they make arrangements to meet a 12-year-old in a parking lot, and they meet there. That's what this person does. They stop that. This has been a very successful program. Here's the problem. Back in 2009, this program was going along very successfully. We told everybody to come up with 5% cuts. DCI already is at bare bones, so this was all they could come up with. So they said, we'll give up this. They didn't have to because the feds came through. There was some money from the feds through stimulus that gave them the money, so they didn't have to actually make this cut. But they've been operating for the last few years off this federal money. The federal money has now gone away. So all we're asking is we go back to the way we were doing it back in 2009, that we fund this. It is a big number. It's $1.2 million. It's $1.2 million that is spent to reimburse your local jurisdictions. What they do is they borrow, and then they pay $42,000 per person that they've taken, plus the equipment and overtime it takes to do major cases. This is your major case squad for the state of Wyoming. So to not put this money back, we will not have a major case squad, and that's big. This will be a big decision if we're going to go ahead and do this.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These positions were funded through ARRA funds from the Obama administration. So they put in the extra money, and now that they take away the money, then they want us to cover all these positions. There are 27 of these positions in DCI right now, and this takes it down to 21. And so it's, in that sense, there still are a lot of these positions available. But basically, they were the only way that these could have been funded were the ARRA funds. And by the way, DCI has a budget of $34 million. And so when they evaluated their budget, they said these are the least desirable things that we want to preserve and protect. So we're going to get rid of them. And then along comes the Obama administration ARRA funds. He says, oh, we'll bring them back. So now, 4 years later, they're saying, oh, my goodness, we can't live without these positions, and we need $1.2 million in addition to our $34 million. And so instead of prioritizing what they want, they say, these are local law enforcement officers. This is something the legislature is going to buy off on and pay us more money. And really, it is that simple, folks. I mean, you can tell a nice tale about it. We're going to be talking about senior centers today. We're going to be talking about preschool education. Everybody has a need for lots of money, and if your hand's out, we're going to try to feed it from from wherever our funds go. We're just saying, look, DCI, you prioritize what you want. If you think these positions are important, fund them out of your $34 million. But don't come and asking us just because Obamacare has taken the money back away. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mine is just a question. Aren't there other positions, aren't there other people that can fill in on this major crime investigative team? I mean, maybe I watch too much TV, but don't we have an FBI? Don't we have people that can come in and help on these major crimes? Specifically, the one that was referred to with the headless man from the drug deal gone bad. It seems like that would be something that would be interstate. And then, therefore, the FBI could come in. I don't know how it works. I just watch TV.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Public safety is one of the prime functions of government. That one we can't give away to somebody else. This has been a good program. It fills an important need. And we need to fund it. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to point out, and I wish DCI had not taken the stimulus money, that they shouldn't have done that. What they should have done was fight back in 09 and say, no, no, keep it on the same general fund budgeting. But at the time back in 09, we were asking everyone to do 5% cuts. So this is what they have to cut something. So this is what they came up with, and then the feds filled in. That's what makes this difficult, because now you got to backfill. We probably should not have taken the federal money. That's correct. There are this will take you down to 21. You got to remember, from 27 down to 21. You got to remember, of that 21, those guys are already doing other things. We got a lot of other types of crimes that they're working on. And a lot of those guys are your major drug task force. Especially the ICAC person is extremely, that takes a lot of training to train a person to do the internet crimes, especially for the sexual assault of children. It'll be difficult to ever find that again. The other problem is, yes, you can bring in the feds, and if that's what we're planning on doing, that we're going to decrease what we're doing and turn over our law enforcement to the feds, I'm not sure if that's the correct way to go. And to be honest with you, the FBI is not well staffed in the state of Wyoming. There's not a lot of them. It's not like on TV where 10 guys all show up. It's one guy. And that's about it.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 10 to House Bill number 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please stand. That's why the chair was in doubt. All opposed, please rise. Second reading amendment number 10 is an increase in funds. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson. Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Mater.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Wilson. No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 30 no.
Second reading amendment number 10 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 12 to House Bill number 1. Chairman Gingery.
you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 12. What this does is we have two child advocacy centers in the state, and it's probably important to explain what a child advocacy center is. This is where if a child has been abused in some manner, the forensic interviews are done at CACs. That's where you bring a child is to a CAC to do the forensic interview. This is where people that are highly trained in how to ask, especially young children, the proper questions, so you're not leading the child, so you're not bringing the child to a conclusion that they had not reached on their own. So that's one of the major things they do. Then after the forensic interviews, they work closely with these children throughout their lives, putting their lives back together after being, in most of these cases, their sexual abuse. So there are two centers. The problem is it's hard to get. So let's say you are in a northern county. There's one in Casper. So you have to get the kid in the car. A lot of times you're in the back seat with being transported with mom. Mom is sitting there trying to tell the four-year-old, remember, when we get there, you need to tell them that mommy's boyfriend didn't really do anything to you. And the mom has that ability to influence the child before the forensic interview can occur. What helps to stop a lot of that is if you can get the child to the forensic interview as quickly as possible, meaning if the place that you're taking the kid to a forensic interview is closer to the location as the event occurred. And so for many communities, it's hard to get the kid, and almost all of them, you need to get them to Casper. That's where you're going. Now, other communities are wanting to have CACs, and what this would do is allow for those funds to, in particularly Gillette has been very interested in they've been really pushing to have one. The money here does not actually pay for it. It only pays for a small fraction. They actually have to come up with a lot of county funds and private donations to make a CAC work. But we need at least one more in this state, and this is what this would do. We had the CACs come in and speak to Joint Judiciary in November, and we spent a lot of time talking to them about how to make the service better. The Casper facility has expanded recently to Riverton. However, the state did not provide any money for that. That's actually the county's been providing those funds to do that. And so they're operating on a pretty low amount of money. This would allow for expansion into at least Gillette area, so it would serve more of the northeast part of the state. That's what CACs do, and that's what this amendment would do.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of this amendment. Having just recently, just this last year, had the privilege of adopting a young one, this is a need in our state that I was not aware of until last year. And we do have to drive people a very long way. And this is a highly specialized training that has to go on here for the individual who would be asking the question. So, again, I do rise in support of this amendment.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I agree with almost everything that the sponsor of the amendment said. These are great facilities and important facilities for protecting our kids across the state. And historically, they have been funded on a local level, both through fundraising, through county governments, leveraging local assets. And this is the first time that really we've looked at state funding for these centers. And you'll note that in the budget, there is actually money for these centers. There was a request for $200,000. That was granted. That was what the governor recommended. That's what that was what the JAC granted. And so what you have here is a really increase of 200% over what was even requested in the budget that we already granted. And so I certainly think these are worthy of state support. The budget reflects that there is state report, but I do have hesitation about increasing over three times what was actually, another two times what was requested in the budget. So I'd urge your no vote.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And those are good points pointed out by the majority whip. The requested amount was to sustain what we already have. I know CAS were struggling a little bit, and so that money was going to sustain it. The extra money that I'm requesting would help us to expand into Gillette. That's primarily what that would be spent for.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 12 to House Bill number 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1 fails. That's 8 down, folks, 75 to go. We're now on second reading amendment number 52 to House Bill 1. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment 52 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is really more a technical correction than anything. As part of the budget, there was a pot of money in one of the licensing boards that is under the Department of Audit that had built up over the decades. We swept that money out and used it to fund part of the functions of the Department of Audit. What this just says is the department won't be dinged on that for the next biennium. They don't have to come in with an exception request to replace that money, and it won't impact their standard budget. So it was the committee's intent when we made this action. This is a cleanup to clarify that.
Anyone else for your first time? The second time. Second time prior to the sponsor, no more speeches. Seeing none and sensing you're ready to vote, all in favor of second reading amendment number 52 to House Bill 1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 52 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We are now on second reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the body, next year is the 125th anniversary of our statehood. And what we would like to do and what this amendment proposes, that we set $25,000 aside for the appropriation to mint commemorative coins to celebrate that occasion. Now, we have done that on our 100th anniversary, which obviously would have been about 25 years ago, if my math's correct and my memory serves me. So what we're doing is asking to do that again. And the good part about this, folks, is that the coins, as they sell, should make a little bit of a profit, and then that money will go back into the state parks accounts. They will sell it in their office, the silver coins. These are going to be 0.999 silver, so they cost a little bit. There'll be a limited number, and that's what makes them a little valuable, because only a certain amount of people can own them. And I can tell you that coin collectors go crazy over this sort of stuff. So, and then the alloy coins, and alloys are just metal or whatever they can come up with, they will be able to distribute those as projects and sell them at the coin shops and at the state museums and tourist centers and stuff for that. So I would ask for your favorable consideration and stand for any questions.
Anybody else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. See no more speeches. All in favor of second reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All in favor, please rise. House Bill 28, having received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members of the House, the Chief Clerk will now call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey. Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Esquivel,
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
Mader.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Yes.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Winters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 27 no.
Second reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We are now on second reading amendment number 44 to House Bill 1. Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, I bring House Bill amendment number 44, and it's just a technical correction. On page 25, line 25, after committee, you'd insert "and select committee on school facilities." It's intended to go to both the appropriations committee and school facilities. So please support my amendment.
Anybody else for your first time? First time? Second time? Second time? Voting on second reading amendment number 44 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 44 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. We're now on second reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1 and urge your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, on pages 28 and 29 of the budget bill, the statement is included in, well, where'd page 28 go? The statement is included in footnote 2 that starts on the bottom of page 28, and it says, if funds are expended within this budget to acquire a conservation easement, the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Account Board shall ensure that any easement acquisition includes a requirement for full public access. That is contrary to the purposes of the conservation easement statute that we enacted a long time ago, which says we have these conservation easements for the following purposes. And among those are habitat and viewshed. And then, even more to the point, in 915-103M, we say the board shall not require public access to private land as a condition to receive any grant funds under this act. So this footnote runs exactly contrary to a provision in statute that's already enacted. So if this footnote were to pass, then we would have a footnote that is contrary to law. Now, here are the things that we try to do with conservation easements. Improve and maintain existing terrestrial habitat for optimum wildlife populations, preserve open spaces, improve aquatic habitat, acquire habitat when existing habitat is determined to be critical or it's in minimal amounts, and conserve wildlife resources. Some of those are not necessarily compatible with public access. We wouldn't want public access on all of those. And the point that I've tried to make over and over again that is hard to explain is this. If we have a conservation easement, we leave the matter of public access to the landowner. Some landowners will allow it and some won't. That's not what we're buying, is public access. What we're buying is conditions on how that landowner uses the habitat. And he can only use it so that it preserves wildlife habitat, preserves viewsheds, or whatever purpose in this statute. Public access is not one of those. And so I would urge you to pass this amendment and delete this footnote from the budget so that we don't have a footnote that's contrary to a statute. Now, I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, I stand on in support of this amendment. You know, the greatest thing that a conservation easement does is it protects wildlife habitat, and that's a public benefit, and not only just to proliferate wildlife, but in areas where we have endangered species or sensitive species like sage grouse, the federal agency that oversees the Endangered Species Act, time and time again, they've said that conservation easements are a good way to ameliorate other impacts to sage grouse habitat. So that's a great benefit to the state of Wyoming if we can preserve that habitat for those sensitive species, and we all get the benefit from not having a species listed. I think it's very important. And you know, while my project did allow public access on a fishing easement, I don't think that should be required. And that's not the primary benefit of a conservation easement to the state. Thank you.
Chairman Simler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage the body to consider the position of the footnote. I just want to kind of refocus the discussion here. Anybody can put a conservation easement on their place, and you can do it without public money. You can do it without state money. You can do it without federal money. But, folks, when we use public money, I think we have to draw a nexus there and say, where is the public benefit? Now, we've had a great discussion of this over the years, and while there's certainly some peripheral public benefits that a few people enjoy, there's not very often that the average citizen of Wyoming can really enjoy the benefit of spending millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to a few landowners across the state and say, where's the public benefit? This would provide, although it would be cumbersome, this would provide an opportunity to really demonstrate to the people of Wyoming why we do this expenditure, because the public benefit that you're going to derive from that is being able to do hunting. So I would strongly encourage you not to support this amendment and take the Joint Appropriations Committee's position.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been here, this is my fourth year. 3 years we've discussed this issue, and I prefer not to get into debate on conservation easements again. Good chairman yesterday, the good chairman of appropriations set forth his reasons why this was in there. We all know the reasons on the use of the public funds. It is something that we need to decide in a bill, and we need to get it vetted. The concern needs to go through the process. I'm with the majority floor leader. You'll see my name on this amendment, and I encourage you to support the amendment simply because that amendment is contrary to what we have in statute. And that creates a great deal of problems for the people around the state. We don't know to go and look at those budget amendments. I understand the debate. I'm not going to engage in the debate. But we do need this amendment to this footnote so we don't have a budget footnote that is contrary to our statutes. That's what that amendment is. We're not going to debate. I refuse to debate conservation easements today. I also refuse to push for a budget that's going to trip up people. Support this amendment. Make sure that we don't have something hidden in a budget footnote that's contrary to law.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the amendment. Of course, we don't want inconsistency, and that should be enough. But honestly, there's a lot of talk on this floor about Wyoming solutions to problems. And honestly, folks, this is one of them. Our use of conservation easements to protect private property rights, to protect ranching and ranching families and ranching communities, as well as wildlife habitat, make conservation easements a good solution to problems. And I would strongly encourage us to vote in favor of this amendment.
Representative Byrd, or Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honored for the amendment to reserve for a second time.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, I think that the Joint Appropriations Committee brilliantly put a piece of policy in the bill that really does allow people the full opportunity to utilize these public lands. If we're going to spend public dollars on these easements, the public should be able to use them.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last speaker mentioned that they brilliantly put policy into the budget bill. Remember, in 915-104M, it reads, the board shall not require public access to private land as a condition. That's the law. That's the law of the land. This is what I was talking about the other day, was where we're writing new law in the budget bill that nullifies the green books. If we're not going to use the green books anymore, that's fine. We can put them away. And we'll just do all of our budget, all of our bills through the budget bill. But we got to decide, is the budget bill to do a budget or is it to write bills? And here, it's writing a bill. If you want to change that, you go back into the green books and you change the law. That's why I would urge you to vote for the amendment.
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, I live in a community where we benefit from the entire base of the Bighorn Mountains in conservation easements. And all the ranchers in that area have allowed willingly to agree to public access. And I think that this is a debate that should take place in another setting, not during the budget session. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the fine chairman of agriculture mentioned some of my reasons why, if state funds are going into these conservation easements, I'm sure some in this body probably thought we were also getting public access to that particular land. We're not. They're fully capable of doing these conservation easements by themselves without state money. They can do them. They get a huge federal tax write-off doing this. I don't know why we're putting state money into it. So even though this not be a good way to do it, doing legislation in a budget bill, I'm going to vote for it. I'll vote against it.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone who hasn't spoken on this amendment? For your second time, Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Public benefit. If the sage-grouse is listed in Wyoming, it will shut down energy development in southwest Wyoming. That I can guarantee you. And what conservation easements do is provide habitat protection that helps let the service make the decision that we don't need to do that. If that is not a public benefit, I don't know what is.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We are now voting on second reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 8 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. And Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up here? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of this amendment is to add a modest increase to the Wildlife Natural Trust Fund of $5 million. We just had a lot of discussion about what that trust fund does. So remember what the good representative from the southwest part of the state said. This fund has been primarily created through taxpayer dollars, mineral tax dollars. The mineral industry needs this fund to keep doing its work in order to keep producing the minerals that give us our tax revenue. So parking money, we know that the governor left a lot of money on the table. This is just a modest increase to keep building the corpus so that the trust fund can continue to do its work to protect wildlife, which in turn helps our major industry go forward with its business. Thank you.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, thank you. For the same reasons I talked about last time, and the trust fund does a lot of things other than easements. They deal with all kinds of habitat issues, and In my neck of the woods, not only do we face sage-grouse issues that are sensitive species, but we face different amphibian issues that are sensitive species. There are a lot of things out there that can stop other uses of the landscape. And we need to have, you know, this tool in our toolbox and we need to increase this. You know, we need to maintain that money in that corpus so that we can do these projects to ensure that we can still do things on the landscape the way we have and the way we want to. And I would urge you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and I'm not bipolar. I'm against this amendment, okay? If we need to preserve the money or save this money for other purposes within this trust fund, what we simply do is go through the process and reduce the amount that we are spending on the conservation easements. I don't think we need to add any money to this at this time. We have ways to conserve those funds for conservation later. I'd encourage you to vote no on this amendment.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. An urgent rejection of the amendment. We've already have $5 million in this budget going into the trust fund. That'll bring the balance of the fund to $103 million, which is a great accomplishment by this legislature. And we're going to get, the goal is to get to $200 someday, and we're working. I don't think we've ever had a budget where we've not put money into the corpus. But in addition to the corpus, that's part of the story. There's another $5 million in the budget for the project account. And in addition to 8 million other funds, so there's about 13 million in projects that are going to go out this biennium, plus this generous 5 million. And I'd say this is a general fund appropriation. And so now this is the part where we have to start balancing kind of, it's a lot of needs in these 80-some budget amendments. And, you know, we're trying to do the best we can for a lot of projects. But when you say, well, this is 5 million, well, 5 million would do a lot of those budget amendments in there. And this is where we start making choices. And I just think we've already put $5 million into the trust. It'll be $103 million. There's another five plus another eight other funds into projects. It's very well funded for this biennium. And, you know, if we have some extra money next year, if the cold weather continues and the stock market rises and the creek doesn't rise, maybe we'll have some money again next year and we can continue to add to this like we've done over the last several years. So I'd urge your rejection at this point. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments of the good chairman of appropriations, but he did acknowledge that the goal for the fund is $200 million. We do have the money this year to continue to build up that fund so it can actually do the work we need to protect wildlife in this state, which, as all of you know, is one of our most important treasures in this state. I can tell you that this suggestion did not come to me from folks in the who that all of you assume are the constituents in my party. It came to me from industry. We are taking their tax money and socking it away in a lot of different accounts and not putting it to work for the state of Wyoming. This is a very modest way to take $5 million of mineral tax money and put it in an account that helps the mineral industry. Just a quick reminder of the various things that are in that 300 section at the back. $3 million to water account 1, $38.7 million to water account 3, despite the fact that there are no projects on the horizon for water account 3. $37 million to the capital, which I, of course, applaud. $5 million to a fish hatchery account. I don't know what that's for. And $70 million to a new school reserve account that we don't even need. So I think we can take $5 million and continue to build up a trust fund that does important work. It's a trust fund. Goes to the corpus, not advocating spending it. Put it in the corpus so the corpus can continue to grow. Thank you.
We're on second to reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 24 has failed. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thought we needed a quick break before we continue with my important amendments to the budget. I'd like to introduce today, we have Wyoming Educational Access Day, and with us today we have students and staff of the Wyoming TRIO and GEAR UP program are here to raise awareness on educational access issues and to know about us as legislators and policy making. They are federally funded and they help support first generation college students the opportunity to get a higher education. So with that, we have 12 Wyoming TRIO programs, statewide GEAR UP program, 6,000 students, college and high school students are here today to participate from Casper, Cheyenne, Laramie, Powell, and Sheridan. Please give them a hearty welcome.
Welcome to the House, and I might just observe for you all that on this floor are people who are first-generation college graduates. So this is what you can aspire to, and this is what you can do. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
From the largest county in Wyoming, I'd like to introduce Sweetwater County Assessor Pat Drinkle.
Welcome to the House. Are there any more privileges of Representatives Wants or the younger?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Up there somewhere, and I can't find them currently, is members of my county for the junior leadership of Laramie County. They're here today to watch the process and hopefully also become young legislators. They're up there waving in the North Gallery now that I can find them. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the House. The next amendment for our consideration is Amendment 20. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this has to do with our air enhancement revenue account and the changes that were made in the budget. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that we can continue this program without reinstating what was originally suggested by the governor's budget. In my community and some other communities, we are working very hard to create a stable air service environment. And we are looking at contracts possibly in July of next year. If we were to go ahead and delete this language and revert it back to the general fund, it does not give us an opportunity to look at those guarantees. And keep in mind that with the guarantees, that doesn't necessarily mean that we expend those funds. What it means is that we'll look at protecting those services and allow for a subsidy that could occur. But I think it's counterproductive in the state of Wyoming for us to create economic development, to provide funds into our communities, ask our businesses to create new jobs if we do not have reliable air service. This is what I find very frustrating sometimes with some of the actions that we take. We start what I think are really visionary programs to try to incentivize our communities to offer these services to folks in their communities and to bring in new business to our communities, to provide jobs to our communities, and then we stop a program. There has to be some type of continuity in order for us to continue to compete in a global market and to enhance what we already have today. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I stand on in support of this amendment. You know, with consolidation of airlines across the nation, it's going to become harder and harder in Wyoming to get reliable air service. We kind of heard that in our Minerals Committee this summer. And, you know, in my neck of the woods, we are reliant on either the airport to the north of us or the airport to the south of us to bring in, you know, the business people into our area, and it's really important that we keep these airports going. It's essential for economic development and just maintaining our current development. So I would encourage you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you. On and against, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I think there's $1.6 million set to revert. Bring it back. Let's take a look at it. Use it for other, I mean, these are taxpayer dollars. And this is a program that is used to keep the service that we currently have. At least that's the testimony to our committee. And it looks like the $1.6 million that they don't need for this biennium. Now, we fully funded for the most part going ahead, but this part is from the last biennium and should revert. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? One second, a reading amendment, number 20, to House Bill 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment, number 20, to House Bill 1 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment, number 21, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Doesn't that deletion constitute an increase in funds?
Mr. Speaker, let me look here. Mr. Speaker, it makes it a reversion. Is that considered to be an increase or decrease of the budget?
I would think it is.
Okay. The Chief Clerk will call the roll. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Coleman,
Connolly, Davison, Eklund, Esquivel, Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux,
no.
Madden, Mader,
no.
Mader,
no.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petros,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 16 no.
Amendment number 20 to House, second reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 21, Chairman Berger.
I feel like deja vu here, Mr. Chairman, but I move second reading amendment 21 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is increase the funding of $500,000, so puts that back into the account. As you know, I formerly served on JAC. These are not easy things for me to do, but I think that this is a critical program to our communities and allows for other communities to have an opportunity to look at making certain that they have stable air service. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Encourage you to vote no. I think we just passed an amendment that allowed $1.6 million to revert back into this account, really increase the budget by that amount. And so really, this isn't an account about expanding air service that we've learned over the years. There's five communities that are on this program, and it's going to remain pretty much the same five communities. And so I don't think the money's necessary. There's extra in it now that we're going to allow to roll over. So I encourage you to vote no. It's $500,000 from the general fund. Thank you, Mr. Leader.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time? We're on second reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No, opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What we do here on page 34 is to just delete a part of the language that would indicate for the highest match, which to me would just mean the community that has been the most successful, that has raised the most money, that has the most opportunity to do this program. That does not give our smaller communities the opportunity to bid or apply for a grant to work on service for their community. So that was the change I wanted to make there. I did not like the 1% match. The fact is that the matches that we do today typically are about 28% by private sector and by our communities, and the state does roughly 72% or less. So I think that this is a good amendment. So I ask for your favorable aye.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the proposed amendment. You know, we've heard that there is strong competition for these dollars across the state. And so it seems to make sense that we as a state want to leverage those dollars as much as possible. And especially when you're looking, for example, at the requirement of a 1% match. Shouldn't we as a legislature say if you're going to take these state funds to build your local resources, you need to put local resources into that effort? And that if you aren't willing to, if you're not willing to come up with 1%, then we shouldn't be dumping state money into those efforts. And that's really the bottom line behind the footnote language. And I think ultimately it ensures that we get the most for our state investment in aeronautics dollars by leveraging those local dollars. So I'd urge your no vote.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I agree with the comments of our Majority Whip in that we do need to leverage these dollars. But I support this amendment, and the reason I support this amendment is I would like to see that language stricken regarding prioritizing this in terms of the highest match. If we want to leverage these dollars, just come back on our next amendment and stick a 25%, 30% match to leverage those. But I'm concerned by prioritizing them without some sort of cap that what's going to happen is these funds are going to all flow to just one or two facilities. And we're not going to have five with the hope of maybe six, but we're just going to have one or two getting these dollars. So right now I'd support this amendment, and I'd be more than open to see something that put a higher percentage in there to leverage these. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
On and for the amendment, what is really behind this is to try and make it a little bit more equitable for the 20-plus communities in the state that don't currently have airline service. Service by commercial air is a very needed operation, and it's tenuous in our state. So what we're trying to do is to make it so that there is a little bit more of an opportunity and retain the business of 1% is not really a bother to us, but rather the thrust of the amendment itself. So don't look behind or under the cover. Look at what we're really trying to do and keep it, modify it at least to the extent that it might be a little bit more fair and palatable to other communities in the state.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment, my community actually stands to benefit from the footnote, but I think the point of this program is to develop services across the state, and we want to be able to allow smaller communities to participate in those programs. So please vote yes.
Representative Chairman Zwanitzer, the elder.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand what the amendment does. It says if the community can come up with a larger portion of matching funds, then they get priority. And as the former speaker just mentioned, that's exactly how it's going to work. So when you get in those communities where they have a lot of wealth, and they're able to come up with a lot more money, then it'll prioritize that way. And is that how we want to distribute our funds? I do not think so. So I would encourage you to vote yes on this amendment.
Representative Bluckery.
Mr. Leader, I urge you to vote no on this amendment. I think that if you have larger matches, then you have more money remaining in the fund to use at other places, which would actually help all the places in the state. And also, I think there should be skin in the game. If a community can come up with 1%, that's a pretty small goal to reach. They show that they're completely interested.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe we're not understanding what is in that footnote. The fact is that in my community, they're raising more than 25% of the match in order to do this. I do not want to handicap us as a state for the opportunity to have 30% or 40%, because depending on, again, how wealthy a community is or how many community businesses they can round up in order to try to make a guarantee. I want to do that. I don't want it to be capped at 1%. I want there to be skin in the game, and I believe this amendment allows that to occur. Please vote aye.
We're on second reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand. Second reading amendment number 22 to House Bill 1 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 42 to House Bill 1. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. This is a tough topic right before lunch because I'm hungry. But members, I know a number of you have expressed a desire to hear about Medicaid expansion, and that's what this budget amendment is about. It's different than anything that came out of the Labor Committee, and I'm not going to go into the technical aspects too much on the amendment itself. First of all, I want all of you to understand what Medicaid expansion means for our state budget, for our local budgets, and for the businesses in your community. I know we've been inundated with paper, but in your box you should have a handout from the Wyoming Business Coalition on Health in support of Medicaid expansion. Your copy is black and white, I think. Takes too long to get color copies. Some may have color copies. This is a group composed of folks from construction, banking, schools, coal, couple coal.
Point of order.
Mr. Majority Leader, I don't believe it's appropriate to be referring to specific organizations endorsing bills as part of the debate.
Oh, that's true. Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I meant to refer to a business group in support of Medicaid expansion. And then you can see that there are a number of industries represented on that sheet. So let's talk about the state budget. The state budget, Department of Health, is one of our biggest budget lines, takes up the majority of our state dollars. We have substantial information, and it's explained in here, that over the course of 7 years of Medicaid expansion, we'd save $125 million. More specifically, the savings would be in the mental health and substance abuse area, where we have a huge general fund appropriation. A lot of those folks would qualify for Medicaid expansion. And that budget line, there are those in the mental health community who feel that the Department of Health has underestimated the cost savings to that budget line. Your local communities. My local Chamber of Commerce person has literally said to me, why on earth are we sending our tax dollars to California? Because this federal money that we're talking about taking for the Medicaid expansion, it's our money. We have already paid taxes into this system for this amount of money. It's our money. And we should put it to work in Wyoming. The larger states are taking the money. They're taking their share. We need to take our share. Otherwise, what we're going to do, in essence, is double tax ourselves. Because, as one of my county commissioners pointed out, we already pay for this care. We pay for it in uncompensated care in our hospitals, in our community health clinics, and also in our own medical bills. We already pay for this care. And ultimately, that burden for our hospitals, for our county hospitals, will fall back on the taxpayers of Wyoming. So we've paid the federal tax to get the Medicaid money, but we're not going to take it. Instead, we're going to tax ourselves some more locally to cover the costs of uncompensated care, or spend our own precious state dollars to cover the cost of uncompensated care. Double taxation? I don't understand the logic behind that position. Finally, looking into your own communities. In my community, we support a community health clinic through the hospital and also through substantial charitable contributions. A number of those patients would most likely be covered by Medicaid. If that clinic was able to take more Medicaid money, then those charitable contributions could go to other needs in the community. And finally, as explained by the business group whose name I won't repeat again, all of us as business folks, my law firm, any of you who run your own businesses and provide insurance for your employees, and the state of Wyoming, as one of the largest group insurance plans, we are paying for these uninsured folks. And that's explained very well in the letter I highlighted for you. So my premium, I'm covered under the state plan. State's premiums are higher because we don't take this money. Business folks' premiums are higher if we don't take this money. We're putting ourselves at a competitive disadvantage by not considering Medicaid expansion. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And I think this may be the only chance we have to do a debate Medicaid expansion, so if you indulge me with just a couple minutes, unless everybody agrees to just say aye, and then we'll stop now. Okay. So anyways, I will walk you through the bill very briefly and then just give some points about the footnote itself. So the first part is a full adoption of Medicaid expansion for the first year, and concurrently with that adoption for the first year is a negotiation period between the Department of Health, the Insurance Commissioner, and the Governor. So then they have our one-year time frame to negotiate with CMS, and we set the parameters inside the bill of how we want those negotiations, what topics we want covered in those negotiations. And there are sunset provisions built in. So after that first year, there's a sunset provision after that first year of adoption. And then during the negotiation period, there's a three-year period. And then there's the FMAP, the federal match, drops below 90%. Those are the two other sunset provisions. So we have three total sunset provisions built into the footnote. And then as you look through the footnote, some of the things we address that the Department of Health, the Insurance Commissioner, and the Governor and CMS must address are copays, deductibles, health savings accounts, and creating positive incentives for people. When working with CMS, it is prohibited to create punitive measures, so we have to create positive, healthy incentives for people. So we built in those parameters, making some skin in the game for people, that if they have a copay or deductible, that they have a vested interest in their own outcome. It's not just a government handout, but it's creating a incentive for them to participate as well. I think we can, maybe not all agree, but you, like me, do not agree with the Affordable Care Act. The measure, but also the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and how it maybe not be the best piece of legislation federally, and many of us would like to overturn it. We thought a certain presidential race was going to overturn it. We thought a certain Supreme Court was going to overturn the Affordable Care Act. Well, that has not happened. So what is going to be the state of Wyoming's response? Personally, I cannot affect what happens at the federal level. I can only impacts what happens in this body as one of 60 people voting. And so it's my job to vote in the best interest of my constituents, and also what I view as the best interest of the state of Wyoming. Philosophically, I think we need to change the healthcare delivery model within our state. Right now, we have a very reactive healthcare delivery model. We need to change that to becoming a proactive healthcare delivery model. And essentially what I mean by that is the first and only stop for many citizens in our state is the emergency room, which is extremely cost ineffective and also does not provide the best care or treatment for individuals. We need to have people seek a primary care physician instead of going to the ER. If we have early diagnosis and early treatment of certain injuries and illnesses, we will drive down costs, and we will improve patient outcome and patient care, such as diabetes and cancer. If we catch those early enough, we will drive down the costs and also help save lives. I would also submit to you that healthier workers are more productive workers. So if people can spend more time actually in the workforce, we will improve the economy of Wyoming. As we talked about earlier, we need to promote recipients taking charge of their own health care. We have built in the copays, the deductibles, and the health savings accounts as part of the negotiations between the Department of Health, the Insurance Commissioner, and the Governor. And lastly, I'd like to hit on the cost shift. Right now, the hospitals claim that's $200 million. We can agree that the number may not be wholly accurate. Is that the retail cost? Is that the actual cost of the hospitals? But if we take away that difference, we take away the cost shift because of Medicaid and Medicare not reimbursing at the actual cost. Let's just say it's 10% of that $200 million. That's still $20 million. What are we going to do for the rural hospitals in our state to make sure they don't go bankrupt? What measures are we going to introduce? So in closing, I'd like to just say we need to improve the health of our citizens. I think we can improve the economy by improving the health of our citizens, and we need to make sure our hospitals stay in business. And I think this measure, by creating buy-in from the individuals, goes a long way to that. We will no longer be a reactive healthcare with the ER being the first stop, but a primary care physician. And I'd urge your eye for the budget footnote.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
If at first you don't succeed, try again. And then if that doesn't work, bring a budget amendment. Brothers and sisters of the 62nd, I voted to hear all of the Medicaid expansion bills. And it was not the wisdom, it was the collective wisdom of this body not to hear those bills. And we have a process. And the process is you bring the bill. If it's a major policy change, you take testimony on the bill. If there's problems with it, you fix it. We now are presented with a budget amendment. And one of my complaints about the Affordable Care Act was that it wasn't vetted. Nobody read the bill. It came to the floor. People were forced to vote on it. And nobody had the opportunity to testify about it. Nobody had the opportunity to say, well, this paragraph doesn't work. And so now we find ourselves in this crazy, bizarre situation where we've got this moving target where the administration is picking and choosing what rules they want to abide by. And so while I am in favor of Medicare expansion or Medicaid expansion, I'm not in favor of this approach. Because I don't know what the intangibles are. The experts haven't had an opportunity to testify on this bill. This is a budget amendment that appeared on my desk last night. Now, there are those maybe on the committee who've heard testimony and shaped this, but I don't know enough out of this language to even know what it means. And I challenge you all in a budget to know what this means. And if we do this, it's only good for 2 years, and then it goes away. So what happens to the social program that we create for 2 years, and then at the end of the budget, it goes away? Well, like everything else we create, it doesn't go away. So, brothers and sisters, while I am in favor of Medicaid expansion, and I voted for it, I urge you to think real long and hard about voting for this budget amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I voted to hear the Medicaid expansion as well, and I guess I wanted to hear the debate. I haven't really heard both sides of it. I've opposed the idea because it seems to create a culture of poverty, and I don't like that very well. But I do agree that we're going to pay for it one way or another. And the Fed can print money, and ours is a little harder earned than that. So I understand that we've paid into federal taxes and whatnot. I'm guessing the money's not really even going to make it from that pot. But I guess I'd like to hear a little bit more about the sideboards. It really concerns me doing something this major. And I'm like the speaker. I'm just concerned about doing this in a budget amendment. But I'd like to hear a little bit more about how you would go about the negotiations, because the other Medicaid we have just says you just qualify for it and you get it according to your income. So I guess I'd like to hear a little further debate on that. But I am concerned about everybody in the state of Wyoming paying for this twice and paying for it through our premiums, and really concerned about losing hospitals. So, thank you.
Just a short break in the debate. Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a short privilege of the floor, please.
Please.
We've had some youngsters here from Casper. You know that community, number one on your license plate, number one in your heart. We have some Crest Hill Dragons here today, one of the Presidential Blue Ribbon Schools, fifth graders. Stand up, please. They're here on a trip. Thank you, Mr. Leader, and their teacher is Mr. Rick Black. So welcome to the House.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would like to respond to the last speaker and answer a couple of his questions. The negotiations that are talked about in this budget amendment are for an 1115 waiver. And so what we're asking is not traditional Medicaid expansion. That's only in the first year, according to this amendment. But then the Department of Insurance, you notice is listed there, the Department of Health and the governor will negotiate with CMS and come to terms about how we can supply medical care, pay for medical care for people using Medicaid dollars. And so this budget amendment envisions using those Medicaid dollars to bring as many people as they can in the newly eligible category and put them on private insurance. Now, with them comes their children and their wives, and so at that point we are reducing that 50-50 match population, because then they will be covered by a typical insurance product if the negotiations go through. If the negotiations fail or break down, we're only bound to this for a year. But in that year, we have an opportunity to take care of some pent-up needs, pent-up medical needs for people who do not have insurance. Some of the benefits of putting Medicaid patients on private insurance, I've said this before, it could increase the number of people in the insurance pool and hopefully help us all by lowering our insurance costs. The clients have better access to providers because they have an insurance product, not a Medicaid reimbursed product. It reduces churning on and off Medicaid eligibility, and every time we process one of those applications, it costs us state money. Hospitals, it's going to put them in a better position because they will get a higher reimbursement rate through an insurance product rather than a Medicaid product. But please be clear, this amendment says straight Medicaid expansion for the first year, while the governor, the insurance commissioner, and the director of the Department of Health or Medicaid negotiate an 1115 waiver that would involve private insurance products.
Mr. Minority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and for the amendment for my first time.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am not an expert in healthcare. Healthcare to me is that I find an employer who will provide me healthcare. I will take a reduction in wages just to make sure that I have that health care. That very barbaric personal philosophy paid off for me. As most of you know, last March 15th, I was on a surgical table, and they removed through my nose a tumor as big as a tangerine. I was very lucky. My wife and I are very conservative. We both have health care insurance. With over $120,000 worth of bills, I wrote a $250 check. That is when health care works right. I didn't get very emotional, except for right now, and in the middle of the night where I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what happened to me, and I saw my two sons. One is 23, and because of the ACA, is on my insurance. The other one is 27. If the same thing that happened to me right out of the blue happened to him, he would be ruined the rest of his life. He financially could never, ever catch up. I don't think that it's the right thing to do to talk about health care through a budget amendment. But there are 17,600 people that would benefit if we did Medicaid. We have not health care. We have sick care. People go to the emergency room. I was as dumb as a rock. I had 103-degree temperature. I had lost sight in my left eye, and I was going to wait until the morning to go to the doctor because it's been grilled into me that you don't go unless you have a primary care. I would urge you for the sake of the 17,600 people, to give them insurance. The ACA is the law of the land. It is flawed. I have gone into many high school classes as a legislator and say, what do you want me to do, talk like a legislator or talk like a politician? I can make a great argument against the ACA. I can also talk about that my insurance, because I had it, saved my financial life and literally saved my life. Let's start fixing things instead of coming away from an ideological perspective. I would urge you to vote for the budget amendment.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I do see the time, and I will be brief. I think we've had a lot of good discussion this morning. I think the good chairman of Labor hopefully answered your questions about the speaker's comments. But just to reiterate, what I have heard frequently on this subject is we don't like traditional Medicaid expansion from a number of you. We've had that discussion. And some of us have had a three-hour or a four-hour discussion on that during a drive to Lander. So what this does is allows us to create a Wyoming plan. The first year, while the negotiations are going on, we take the traditional Medicaid expansion, and then we direct our agencies to go work on a Wyoming plan to consider the factors that are listed. As the speaker said, there are a number of factors listed, but we could have just said to our agencies, go forth and negotiate, and not given them any direction. So all those bullet items you see in the budget amendment, those are to provide direction to the agencies as they go to negotiate the waiver. So because we all want to go eat lunch, I'll stop and just emphasize that this budget amendment, unlike nearly every other budget amendment we have, actually saves state dollars. And it requires the Department of Health to save those dollars. And then we can look at that savings and decide what to do with it. So this saves state money. And that's what we try to do with budget amendments. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 42 to House Bill 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number second reading amendment number 42 to House Bill 1 fails. Division having been called, all in favor, please rise. Those opposed. Like I said, second reading amendment number 42 to House Bill 1 fails. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any committee? All those opposed, no. The majority will caucus downstairs in B63. Madam Minority Caucus Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Minority Caucus will also be meeting upon adjournment at the Wyoming Democratic Party headquarters on Warren, and you're all invited.
And also be in recess until 1:30 p.m.